A woman way over town that's good to me. Oh yeah, say I got a woman way over town good to me. Oh yeah, she give me money when I'm in need. Yeah, she's a kind of friend indeed. I got a woman. Just for me. Oh yeah, she says loving early in the morning just for me. Oh yeah, she says loving just for me. Yeah, she loves me so tenderly. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. Night, never grumbles or fusses, always treats me right, never running in the streets and leaving me alone. She knows a woman's place is right there now in her home. I got a woman way over town that's good to me. She's all right. I don't know she's all right. She's all right, she's all right. Oh yeah.
For World Mental Health Week, this is Walk in My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
Money. Shawty looking like money. It is Ireland's only pop-up radio station at 6 minutes past eight, even the other way around. This is Walk In My Shoes Radio, promoting positive mental health on walkinmyshoes.ie. Also promoting some great music, because you had Digital Farm Animals and Cash Cash there, Millionaire before that, I Got A Woman from Ray Charles, and a bit of sugar too at this hour of the morning, we all need it. Robin Schulz featuring Francesco Yates. Okay, it is Trevor Keegan with you, as I say, till 9 o'clock, and we are going to limber up, do some dancing, because we have a guest sitting opposite me who is all about the dance. Sharon St. Clair. Did I pronounce the Sharon bit right?
You did, thank you.
Just come a little bit closer to the mic, Sharon. That'd be just so we can hear you loud and clear. Now, perfect. Tell me about your Five Rhythms dance. What it's all about and why is it good for us?
Okay, so first of all, I'd just like to say thank you to Paula McHugh, who would usually be in the hot spot, and she's given me her space because she's offside. So thank you. She's a Five Rhythms teacher and colleague.
Okay.
So the Five Rhythms dance is a movement meditation.
A movement meditation.
So basically, instead of sitting there going om.
Because that's what you think of when you think of meditation. You think of just the stillness.
Yes, the stillness, which in the beginning of the Five Rhythms, I was totally allergic to. So with the rhythms, we are guided through flowing, staccato, chaos, lyrical, and stillness. And whilst we're guided in these rhythms, we're kind of letting go of issues in our tissues, so that by the time we come to stillness, we are glad to be there.
Yeah, I like that. Issues in our tissues.
Yes.
We've got a lot of issues in our tissues.
Do.
We do.
Big time.
And so the rhythm and the dancing, you just, it's basically free expression really, isn't it, as well?
It is. Gabrielle Roth said if you allow a body, if you set people in motion, they will heal themselves. So we as teachers, we're holding space for people to turn up and be themselves in every department.
So there's no conformity to the dance, it's just go for it, do what
you
have to
do. The rhythms, the music helped persuade you to move in certain ways. As a teacher, we guide you when we see things in the room, maybe people are holding their breath, maybe hips aren't being moved, and we just encourage people to move their stuff.
Because people do, I have a tendency to breathe from higher up in not my diaphragm really, more higher up in the lung area. But that's to do with asthma. So do people come to you with various ailments and issues, and that maybe affects how they're breathing, and then the dancing opens it all up a bit?
I think so, because in the beginnings I had a very shallow breath myself, and I had no asthma. And I think it was because I wasn't used to being in my body, I wasn't used to breathing deeply. Yeah.
And so if somebody goes to you obviously do classes.
Yes.
I presume most people are probably a little bit hesitant, a little bit nervous, and us Irish wouldn't be known for our rhythms.
Yes, that's right. Everybody is nervous, and even seasoned dancers, even when I step up onto a dance floor, I will be nervous initially because I don't know who's in the house, what's going to come out of me, you know. So, yeah, I just turn up and I trust my feet. So that's the first rhythm, flowing. We learn to trust our feet. We learn to embody going with the flow. Because sometimes our head is saying something, our body's saying another, doing a third thing.
The head is usually saying a bit of self-consciousness. Because I have a friend, and one of the quotes just stuck my head once when I was out on a night out was, he said, "I can't dance sober." Which is like, just...
I think that's nuts.
That's a nuts excuse,
because as young children, if you see young children or little toddlers and you put music on, they are dancing.
And they don't care about it.
No inhibitions.
Yeah.
So if you think of arriving at a dance floor and, you know, you're sitting there, you're hearing this interview right now, and you're thinking dancing without drink, without drugs, without anything, if in that moment something comes up for you, then you need the Five Rhythms. Because you've got stuff, issues in your tissues, and move them, explore them.
And what would be the Five Rhythms? Can you categorize them?
I can. Flowing is the first rhythm. It's fluid, it's feminine, and it's encouraging us to embody trust in our feet, going with the flow.
Okay.
Staccato is the second rhythm. So flowing is feminine, and the breath, we focus on the inward breath, breathing in. Staccato, body part, hips. That rhythm is learning to teach us to embody clarity and boundaries.
See, I think blokes are not great with the hips.
there's a lot of people not great with the hips, but the hips are where it's at.
I'm reaching for my hips. And
that's just... where our creativity is, our sexuality, our sensuality, the juice is in the hips.
You see some races, like I think of Brazilians always as brilliant with their hips.
Yes.
Just free and easy. That sounds a bit rude, but I don't mean it like that. You know what I mean? They just have that. They just go with it.
So going back to the rhythms, the staccato is teaching us to embody clarity. Chaos is the two rhythms put together, the feminine and the masculine.
So that's just letting loose?
Oh, no. Well, we kind of ground our feet. We invite the hips, and then the third rhythm, chaos. When we put the masculine and the feminine together, and you might know this in relationships, chaos comes to town. So we move our spine, we move our heads. We move our heads faster than we can think, and then that really allows us to drop into our body. So in chaos, we are learning to let go.
Is it also letting go and then learning a comfortable kind of confidence, body confidence, really, isn't it?
Yes, well, we move at a pace that suits ourselves, and we are the teachers. We are, who was it who said, Jim Rohn says, trust your body, love your body, because it's the only place you have to live.
Yeah.
So in chaos, we're learning to let go, we're learning to release, and then in so releasing the issues in our tissues, it's as if we're putting them down over here, and then we lighten up in lyrical, body part, hands, fingers, arms, and each other. And in this lyrical space, we are letting go of letting go. What does that mean? It means we've found some freedom that chaos has given us, and instead of replaying the replay button, instead of retelling the story, we celebrate in the lightness that our body has. So oftentimes we go around the place telling this person this and that person this and that person this, and what we're doing is reactivating the trauma that we've just gone through.
Well, we actually talked about that yesterday with an expert in trauma who was saying that we hold on to things. The body holds on to stuff.
Oh, it certainly does. It holds on to good memories and it holds on to bad memories. They're all in here. So in the practice of the five rhythms, we have an occasion where we can move our bodies, we can validate what's going on, and we can be witnessed by the teacher, and there's great healing in that. So when we come to stillness, it's as if we're in a pram and we're throwing out the toys, the issues and the tissues.
Issues and the tissues are out the window.
And then we come back to stillness where we can reflect, where we can digest, where we can process, where we have a space to be still, to look around and just see, what do I need?
Yeah.
What do I need?
And it's enjoying your body as well. What kind of music is played at the class?
Well, it's a mixed bag. And the music really kind of broadened my horizons, because I liked a bit of hip-hop, I liked a bit of soul, I liked a bit of reggae. But I can't obviously play music that suits totally me. So I had to kind of broaden my horizons. We could have classical, we could have punk rock, there could be country and western, there can be anything goes. We're just trying to find music that will either help you to drop into your body through the words perhaps, the mood perhaps. With chaos, that's the peak of the rhythm, that's where we get to clean house, that's where we get hot, sweaty, and that could be punk. I found a lovely track from ELO, Secret Messages.
I love ELO, yeah.
Yes, yeah. My Irish uncle brainwashed me with ELO when I was a kid, and I love ELO, so it's anything and everything. Mm.
And you've obviously been there. What advice would you give to somebody on the first night that they go to this class? What was it like your first time ever doing it? Because we are all, as a race, I think the Irish are a little bit self-conscious when it comes to dancing.
Okay. Well, my first night, my first Five Rhythms class, I totally hated it.
Good. I'm glad we wouldn't be alone.
And I love dance. And what I found was I was dancing in these co-ops where we were kind of community dancing.
Mm.
And it was in this co-op that they turned me onto the five rhythms. They said, have you tried this? And I thought, oh, no, I haven't. They said, it's really great. So I signed up for five classes. And on the first class, what I found was I hated being there. The time was forever. I hated the teacher. I hated the music, everything about it. Staccato was the only rhythm I liked. And because I signed up for five classes, I had to come back. The second class was totally different because I knew what to expect. The time flew by. I was like, whoa, when it was over, I was like, are we done? Oh my goodness. And it just, what I realized is what I hated was myself.
Yeah.
I hated myself because in this space, I was left to my own devices where I met me, myself, and I. I didn't like what I saw. I found inside a needy child, and an angry teenager, and a raging adult.
And trauma that you were holding on to.
And all that trauma. Mm. And I just couldn't bear it. It was too much for me. So I'm so glad I rocked up time and time again, because each time I came back to the class, a different part of me presented itself. A different part of me wanted to be seen and heard. And through the teacher, she facilitated that space, and I will be forever grateful.
I know you don't term it as therapy, but technically
it is therapeutic.
It is really, yeah, it's therapeutic.
It's
exactly.
Therapeutic,
yeah.
Because what I've noticed in all the times I've been dancing is if I'm given a space to be myself, if I'm in this space and I'm witnessed, and the more people that are in that room to witness me being myself, the more healing I take from that.
That's where I think it's good, because I love dancing, but I kind of probably don't do it when I'm necessarily completely sober, but I do love doing it in the house on my own.
Yes.
And make an absolute tit of myself if anybody saw me. But leave that at the door when you go to the class.
Exactly. Yeah. I dance all the time. I was driving down here this morning, got stuck in traffic. I found a road that had an accident on it, and I was like, rrr. And I knew as soon as I got to this space that I would be moving my body so that I can put that experience aside.
When you arrived, you were out in reception this morning dancing around.
Dancing away.
You see, I wouldn't have the I don't think any of us here, would anybody here this morning have that? No, they're ignoring me. But nobody would have the confidence just to go out in that reception area, which is a medical reception area, and just dance.
Well, at this point in my life, I don't care about anybody else. Me is the only one that's important. And what I needed to do is take myself out of my head where all the fear and the stories and the drama and the whatever, and bring myself right back here in my body with my breath in this moment.
That's where we all should be. If somebody wants to take up the dancing, I'm tempted myself now after talking to you, where could they find out more about Five Rhythms Dance?
Well, there's four warrior women holding space.
Women?
Yeah, holding space in Dublin City, because I call us warrior women because people rock up to our rooms, we play some music, and we see them. When they first come in, everyone's kind of timid and shy. And,
Nobody's
talking. They're all thinking, oh, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what to do. Nobody knows anything, you know. And it's just through the rhythms and just I kind of say things like, if you're thinking in your head that you don't know what to do, well, join the club. We're all in the same place. And just gently through breath, through movement, you just gently get into the rhythms.
And you just open up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but at your own pace. So some people I see in the class might just take off from flowing. Others might take off from staccato. And then other times I see people with their wings and like angels and fairies dancing in lyrical, and it's just beautiful to witness.
That's amazing. Where can we find the four warrior women?
So the four warrior women, we're in the city. There's a class on Tuesday evening. There's a class on a Wednesday morning. There's a class on a Friday evening, which is an ongoing closed group. And I rock up into the city once a month on a Saturday evening.
What location do you do with that?
I'm in Inspire Gallery, 56 Gardiner Street.
Okay.
On a Saturday once a month. I also do a weekly class in Greystones in the morning on a Sunday morning.
Oh, lovely. My hometown.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Well, formerly.
Okay. And I also do an evening class once an evening in Greystones too.
Brilliant.
I'm assisting Paula McHugh. She's doing an ongoing series on a Friday evening on the subject of vulnerability. And next year I shall be in Newtown Mount Kennedy doing a retreat with the five rhythms in this beautiful space. As soon as you land on the land, you're already being healed. And this workshop is going to be called Shadow and Light. So it's the shadow and the light of the five rhythms. They're five standalone classes, workshops, or you can sign up for the whole five.
And is there a website that people can go to at all?
There is. My website is SharonSt.Clair.ie.
So that's SHEORRON. Yes. Sharon St. Clair.
Yes, saintclair.ie. And then there's also the fiverhythms.com, where you'll find the eight of us. There's eight Five Rhythms teachers in the whole of the country. I'm also doing a class in Clair, and I'm doing a class in Fomoy. Yeah, we're all over the place.
Go to the website, folks. Go
to the website. Yeah.
If you've got issues with your tissues, go to the website.
Go to the website.
Brilliant.
And you'll find us and set yourself free.
Set yourself free. I'm going to do this. Because you're down in the home county. It's an excuse for me to get back down to Wicklow. Excellent. Sharon St. Clair, thank you so much for joining us on Walk My Shoes Radio. It's been a pleasure to meet you and watch you dance out in the reception this morning. Lovely stuff. Now, a little bit of a little mix. All the girls on the floor knocking at my door.
Adam Clayton, and you're listening to Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's University Hospital this October to mark World Mental Health Day.
29 minutes past 8 this Tuesday morning. That is Dan Hartman, Relight My Fire. I kind of miss Lulu, though. You kind of would wish she was there. It is Trevor Keegan in till 9 o'clock this morning. This is Walking My Shoes Radio, encouraging you to get the conversation started all around Mental Health Week. We are starting a conversation right now, which is in a difficult area and a topic that not many people might be too familiar with. We are talking to Dr. Aileen Murta about gender dysphoria. So, Aileen, thank you for coming in this morning. Good to meet you. Thanks for inviting me. Give us a little bit of a gender or definition of gender dysphoria, because we all have heard of gender issues, but not necessarily gender dysphoria per se.
Well, gender dysphoria occurs when there's conflict between someone's gender identity, so their inner sense of who they are, and their assigned sex at birth. So essentially there's a mismatch between body and mind, and this can cause significant levels of dysphoria or distress. Now, it's not a mental illness in itself, but because of the mismatch and the distress it can cause, sometimes it can be associated with quite a lot of mental turmoil.
So it's going to lead to issues because they'll be maybe depressed, they don't know what's wrong, what's going on, why is it happening to me, all those kind of things.
Not always, but sometimes it can be associated with other mental health issues. Yeah.
How early can these signs of dysphoria appear in a child?
Well, sometimes they can actually, be apparent, in quite young children. So in childhood, some children might insist that they're, a member of the opposite sex. They might gravitate towards playmates of the opposite sex. They might have a preference for toys that you wouldn't expect, given their assigned sex at birth. So a boy, playing with like Barbie dolls and prams. They might, reject clothes that, parents might typically expect them to wear. Like a girl might absolutely refuse to wear a dress, a communion dress. And there could be a lot of stress over communion time.
In my time, I sound like archaic here, but in my time, so if a girl was maybe, liked her hair cut a certain short way or liked wearing the dungarees instead of the pink dress, you'd just say she was a tomboy. You wouldn't say that she had gender dysphoria. So how do you know it's not just a phase and it's just her character as opposed to something more serious?
Yeah, so for some children it can be a passing interest, and it doesn't cause any distress. So what you're looking for is whether it does cause significant distress for the child, whether it's interfering with their day-to-day functioning. So is it interfering with the child's ability to function at home, in the school, with friends? So that's really, what you're looking for, and whether it's persistent, consistent and insistent over time as a real problem for the child.
It's longer lasting than a phase. What about the feelings of the child? Because as you said, they could be confused, they could be angst-ridden and wondering what is it happening, why is it happening? How would parents deal with those feelings? How do you help alleviate them?
But I suppose children and parents can go through a whole kind of variety of emotions and responses, and I suppose there's no kind of one-size-fits-all approach. Everyone's gender journey is unique, so it's about a parent kind of opening up lines of communication with the young person, so to see if there is, feelings of confusion, anxiety, stress. So, sometimes that's completely absent. The young person is quite clear that I am the opposite sex, this is who I am, and this is what I'm wearing, this is what I'm playing with. So it's just being, keeping in tune with your child and supporting them.
And equally for the parents, it's a confusing time.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're a parent, and you probably have expectations, if you have a daughter or a son, you have certain expectations of what their life is going to be like and the kind of characters they're going to be. So how do parents deal with these feelings, and where could they possibly turn to?
Well, parents can go through a roller coaster of emotions. Sometimes when a young person comes out as transgender, there might be a huge sense of loss because, as you said, they might have had a girl, they might have expected, walking her down the aisle or whatever. So we do have a national support group in Ireland called TENI, Transgender Equality Network Ireland. So they have a website with a lot of different information. They also run monthly support groups for our parents called Transparency. And some of those, so they have different branches nationwide. And they also, in some of those areas, they would have parallel groups for young people called the Transformer groups as well, to support the young people as well as the parents.
Well, what about the stigma around it? I was looking at an article last night online, and I didn't see the programme, I didn't saw a little clip of it, but it was Piers Morgan yesterday on Good Morning Britain, and he had a person, a girl, who identifies herself as fluid, gender fluid, and he was arguing with her that there's no such thing, and how could you not just be one or the other, which I thought, A, was narrow-minded of him, and B, is confusing for people who are going through that kind of issue. So is gender fluid similar, or is it different to dysphoria?
Well, I suppose the term transgender is an umbrella term, so there's lots of different gender identities, and we now know that it's not as, you know, black and white as that you're male or female. You know, there's lots of different possible gender identities. Facebook now actually has over 70 options, you know, if you're choosing your gender identity when you log in and create a profile. So we know there's lots of different gender identities. Certainly recently what we're seeing is there's a lot more kind of complexity and you know, difference in terms of young people presenting, and a lot more young people identifying as gender fluid, so services have to change to match the needs of these young people.
So obviously if somebody of school going age is having this issue, mm-hmm. how are schools equipped in Ireland today? Where are they at in their journey down the road of mm-hmm. Recognising these issues?
Well, for a lot of schools, I suppose, in the last 3-4 years, very often they might you know, have their first transgender pupil. In 2016, the Department of Education in association with LEN published guidelines, and those guidelines have a specific chapter for schools on how to meet the needs of transgender youth. Tenny, the support group as well, also do offer support to schools. If there is a young person about to socially transition in the school environment, they will go in and train staff and speak to the school year. And in my experience, schools in Ireland have been really supportive.
So we're quite progressive, it seems, as a nation, are we?
Well, in my experience, parents and schools are quite supportive.
Is gender reassignment in gender dysphoria, is that always the end goal, or is it just another option?
No, as I said, everyone's gender journey is unique. There's different paths for different people, so it's figuring out what's right for a particular young person at a particular point in time. So young people, some young people might just want to socially transition, so they just use their preferred name, preferred pronouns, change their appearance, their hairstyle, their clothing to match their gender identity. Others then do want to go down the route of you know, medical transition, so they might take hormones and or surgery. But it's a common misperception that all transgender you know, youth want surgery. That's not always the case.
And is the surgery an option in Ireland, or do you have to go abroad for it?
Some of the surgeries are available in Ireland, and some of them would, you know, would be sent abroad, but surgery wouldn't occur before the age of 18.
Okay. This isn't just one of those new modern fandangled issues. This is as old as man himself, basically, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's existed for centuries, and it's actually celebrated in, you know, in certain cultures. So the Hijra tribe in South Asia, you know, gender variant people are considered to have special powers, and they celebrate different gender identities, you know, for example, the two-spirited people in North America.
So we should all celebrate our different identities, really.
Well, it's not seen as a, you know, as an issue or a difficulty in those cultures.
Exactly, it's amazing, different cultures and different approaches to life.
Yeah.
Aileen, fascinating area. As you say, Tenny is a support group for the parents if they want to get more information particularly,
because
they might be just as confused as the child is going through it as well.
Yeah, and the transparency support groups, the monthly support groups for parents as well. And as some of them would have the transformer groups to support transgender youth as well.
Brilliant. Listen, thank you so much for filling us in on an issue that is such, as you say, 70 on Facebook, 70 different mm-hmm. options for gender identification. So it's a fascinating area. That's Dr. Aileen Murta joining us on Walking My Shoes Radio. It is 8:37.
Call it love and devotion. Call it a mom's adoration. Foundation. A special bond of creation. For all the single moms out there going through frustration. Clean bandit, shot up all and marine thing made them air.
She works the nights by the water. She's gone astray, so far away from her father's daughter. She just wants her life for a baby. All on her own, no one will come. She's got to save him.
Daily struggle.
She tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you.
Stay up there.
She
stay
tells
up there.
Him, your life ain't gonna be nothing like my life. Jay. You're gonna grow and have a good life. I'm gonna do what I got
stay
to
up
do.
There. Stay up
so
there.
Rock-a-bye, baby, rock-a-bye. I'm gonna rock you, rock-a-bye, baby, don't you cry. Somebody's got you, rock-a-bye, baby, rock-a-bye. I'm gonna rock you, rock-a-bye, baby, don't you cry.
In the hard life without no fear, yeah. Just see and know that you really care. Cause any obstacle come you well prepare. And no mama you never said tear. Cause you have said things year after year. And you give the youth love beyond compare. You find the school fee and the bus fare. Mmm,
6-year-old, trying to keep him warm, trying to keep out the cold. When he looks in her eyes, he don't know he is safe. When she says, she tells him, ooh, love, no one's ever gonna hurt you, love. I'm gonna give you all of my love. Nobody matters like you.
Stay up there.
She
stay
tells
up there.
Him your life ain't gonna be nothing like my life. Jay. You're gonna grow and have a good life. I'm gonna do what I got to do. Yeah. So rock-a-bye, baby, rock-a-bye.
Rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye.
Rock-a, rock-a-bye. You rock-a-bye, baby, don't you cry.
Rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye. Rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye,
rock-a-bye.
Rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye.
You rock-a-bye, baby, don't you cry.
With a bang, bang, bang. All right, then. Rock-a-bye, don't bother cry. Lift up your head, lift it up to the sky.
With the right support, we can all enjoy life. Taking that first step is possible with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. If you have concerns about your mental health, talk to your GP or call our support line on 01-249-3333. Don't wait to enjoy life again. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Empowering recovery.
For World Mental Health Week, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
Your touch has thrilled me like the rush of a wind, and your heart had held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me. That flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean. We've been sailing with a cargo full of love and devotion. So I'd like to know where you got the notion. Said I'd like to know where you got the notion.
Yeah. It's just hitting 8:45 on the nose here on Walk In My Shoes Radio. It's Trevor Keegan with you. We're bringing you breakfast until 9 o'clock this morning, followed at 9 by Shea Byrne. If you want to get in contact, you can go to the website. It's walkinmyshoes.ie. You can also get us on Twitter at Walk In My Shoes using the hashtag WIMSFM. Now, that was Rock the Boat, Clean Bandit, naff song extraordinaire that everybody plays at weddings, and we all love it when they do. Now, this morning, we are going to talk to our final guest of the breakfast show. It is a lady who is no stranger to all of us. She is TV star, model, DJ, can do no wrong, basically. It is Vogue Williams. Good morning, Vogue.
Good morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, you're on the TV tonight. You're continuing your brand new series on RT2. It's an interesting topic because, obviously, we're supporting Mental Health Week here and positive mental health. And your program tonight on RT2 is all about anxiety.
Yes.
And this is very personal to you, this program, because people may think that you have a charmed existence, but you yourself have experienced anxiety and still do.
Yeah. I still get quite bad anxiety, and I just think it was a show that I'd always sort of had in the back of my mind to do, but I was a bit nervous of doing it. And now that I've done it, I'm sort of nervous of it coming out. But I think it's just one of those things. I think that I've been open enough in the last couple of years about my anxiety, and it's not something I'm embarrassed about or anything anymore, but it's something that I do want to bring a light to, well, and I think a lot of people suffer from it. So
we've kind of been talking here on the radio station for this week, Vogue, about people who are ambassadors for, say, the likes of St. Patrick's Mental Health Services here in Dublin. And people like Niall Breslin and people like Adam Clayton have been talking about it, and Blana Tracy from RTE. But was it a difficult, you said it was a difficult decision, but you know, you are putting yourself out there personally. This is a personal issue.
Yeah, it definitely was a difficult thing. I suppose, like, the documentary is quite raw, and I did throw a lot of myself into it because I didn't want it to be, I wanted it to be a really honest portrayal of what it's like to have anxiety and to put myself in, because I had so many other people talking to me about their anxiety and they were putting themselves forward. So I guess, like, you see me, a part of it, I talk about my anxiety when I have really quite bad anxiety, and even, like, I find that quite hard to watch back, so... And I'm excited for people to see it, and I think hopefully that it will help people get a better understanding of it, because I think that a lot of people don't really get what anxiety is if you don't have it. Like, my mum certainly doesn't really understand it when I tell her I have anxiety.
Yeah, a lot of people who don't suffer from it would wonder, how does it actually manifest? I mean, if you're getting anxious, what will be the telltale signs?
I just start getting, like, a racy heart. Mine are really physical symptoms. I feel really sick in my stomach. It's almost like excitement, but horrible excitement. Like, you're not excited for what's coming, but it's like it butterflies in your stomach, that sort of can turn into quite bad pains. I just would feel panicky for the day, and like, it doesn't really go away. I just sort of have to, like, go through it and just go through the motions, and that's why I use the gym and different things, and like, I've found a lot of ways to manage it myself. And people ask me where I get the motivation to go to the gym every day, but it's actually because I feel like if I didn't go, that I might have anxiety for the day instead. So that is my sort of way of dealing with it.
Okay, well, it is quite a raw program, as you say yourself. It is, you know, very emotional and very close to you personally. We can have a little listen to a clip from tonight's program.
What time is it? An hour and a half trying to sleep. I'm absolutely exhausted. I have an idea of something that could have set me off, but I look exhausted. I am exhausted, and I just can't calm myself down. I just keep trying all those tricks. They're just stupid. I just feel like they're stupid, and I just don't know what can help me. It's at night time, and you're sort of alone, you're in your own head. Just upset. I'm just so fed up of feeling like this. I'm so fed up of it coming on. I'm so fed up of trying to do things to stop it. I'm so fed up of it not going away, and I just feel so... just tired.
Now, Vogue, I hope you could hear that clip. Could you?
I did, yeah.
There's kind of self-loathing going on there, isn't there, a little bit?
I suppose it's just so frustrating when you are having a bad day with anxiety, and you do think, why am I like this, and why won't it just go away? And it's not so much self-loathing, it's just such frustration when I have it, because like I don't function the same way as I do if I don't have it. Like, it's much better when I don't have it.
And it's interesting because I have worked with you. We've worked together and we've gone to Australia together filming.
Yeah.
And I would never have thought of you as somebody who have anxiety, because you are the image that is portrayed, and obviously we all put our best foot forward in public life, but you're yeah. out there, you're up, you're upbeat, you're, you know, vivacious, your personality, people yeah. think, you know, Vogue, God, yeah, didn't think she suffered from that.
I'm quite a happy and positive person, and like, I am positive like 99% of the time, but even when I have anxiety, sometimes I'm like just positive about it, because I'm just like, I'm getting through this today, and it's not so bad at the moment, and it's fine, la la la, but like, it doesn't mean that you don't get things like that. So like, the happiest person, you just don't know what other people are struggling with. And I think personally for me, my anxiety from doing the show, I'm quite lucky with the anxiety I have, because I've met people that can't leave their house. I've met people that have severe OCD from anxiety, and people that it's really, really affecting their lives and not allowing them to live a normal life. So I actually feel quite lucky with the level of anxiety that I have.
Yours is manageable, basically.
Mine's definitely manageable, yeah. And I have to do a lot of different things.
The people you meet in the programme, did you meet anybody who's getting their life back in some sort of normality, and how do they deal with it if they are?
So many people that are doing that. Some people that are still struggling, but some people that have managed to turn their life around. And I think it's about, like what I've found, sadly it's not something that you just get rid of, but what I've found is that like, it's something you manage, and there's hundreds and hundreds of different things you can do to help yourself, and it's just about finding the thing that suits you. And I think that that's the hard part if you struggle with any mental illness, I suppose. It's finding what helps you and makes you feel better. So I think with the program, people will find loads of different techniques. Like I went to like a special yoga class to help people with anxiety. There was just so many different things, and like, I learned so much in this documentary, so I really am excited for everyone to see it and hopefully learn themselves.
I think it's a good point, Vogue, because everybody should find something that is perfectly suited to them, because we did a bit of dance therapy of sorts this morning with the Five Rhythms dance, and that could be something that, you know, helps people. Yeah, exactly. And it's also great exercise, and as you say, exercise yeah. for you is part of your get out clause. In terms of your existence is you live life through the public domain, so is that even tougher again yeah. because people are, you've trolls on Twitter and people like that getting at you daily?
I think I'm 32 now, and I think other people's opinions of me are getting less and less important, unless it's someone that's close to my family or my friends. If a troll says something nasty about me, it actually doesn't really affect me anymore. But I think I wouldn't be a huge fan of, I found this recently, even at my own birthday, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go home now. I don't really like being in like huge, massive groups. So that's not always the best thing, particularly if you're going to a premiere or something like that. But I prefer like a bit of a simpler life now.
Yeah. Well, do stars do, Vogue? Go in the front door, get papped, and go out the back one.
I want to see the movie though.
Go pay for a ticket, woman.
I'm not paying to waste the money.
Come here, before I go, I have to ask you, you've moved in with Spencer, how are things going?
Yes. Things are great. He's actually, he's only making his way home from Greece now. He was over there for 5 weeks doing a TV show. So he's finished and delighted with himself, and he is coming home today, and I'm very excited.
Are you meeting him at the airport?
No, I'm currently trying to hide a lot of the stuff. I've just brought a load more stuff over from my old house, and I think he already thinks I'm mad at the amount of stuff I have.
So you're scattering around pretending it was his all along.
Exactly.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, Vogue, thanks a million for taking the call. Great to talk to you as always. The programme Vogue Anxiety is on RT2 tonight at 10:05. That, of course, is Vogue Williams. Vogue, talk to you again soon. Take care.
Bye, Jamie. Bye.
Tonight changes into something red. Her mother doesn't like that kind of dress. Everything she never had, she's showing off. Driving too fast, moon is breaking through her hair. She's heading for something that she won't forget. Having no regrets is all that she really wants. Drive you crazy, just a
run around her head. He's waiting, hides behind a cigarette. Heart is beating loud and she doesn't want it to stop.
Moving too fast, moon is lighting up her skin. She's falling, doesn't even know it yet. Having no regrets, it's all that she really wants.
We're only getting older, baby, and I've been thinking about it lately. Does it ever drive you crazy? Just how fast the night changes. Everything that you've ever dreamed of disappearing when you wake up. But there's nothing to be afraid of. Even when the night changes, you'll never change me and you.
Something red. Her mother doesn't like that kind of dress. Reminds her of the missing piece of innocence she loves.
My changes, One Direction here on Walk My Shoes Radio, especially for Michael McCormack, who texts me saying how much he loves One Direction. I get my own back on him. Anyway, that is just about it from me, Trevor Keegan, here on Walk My Shoes Radio. Shea Byrne is up next. Before I go, I have to thank all the team here. They were brilliant, as usual, feeding me pastries, basically. Rachel Breslin is pressing the buttons. Sinead Lynch, of course, inevitably, she's just brilliant. Also, we have Niamh Phelan, Dylan Dooley, and Patricia. Now, hold on a second. I can't do this. Come over, come over. Tell me how to pronounce your second name. Patricia?
Kasparovičiūtei.
Say it slowly.
Patricia Kasparovičiūtei.
Great name. Love it. Shea Byrne is up next from me, Trevor Keegan. Thank you for your company. I'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.